Hello, everybody. Welcome to Junk Drawer Podcast. Today, I'm here with my special guest, Saji Sharma. Hello, Saji.
That's me. Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me on again.
I was going to say, are we going to talk about what happened last time?
We don't have to if we don't want anybody to know.
Yeah. Well, basically, I started threatening Saji's life. It got really crazy. It got really violent. And so we decided to just like scrap that one.
Yeah, I don't like thinking about it too much, honestly.
But basically, well, the reality of it is that I had my volume turned all the way down. So how's your week been, Saji? What's going on with you?
Actually, a lot this week. I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, but I'm going to assume it's going to come out before my next video. But if you come from my channel, you might be like, Saji, where are you? Why is there a Yoshi behind you? That is a great question, which I will answer right now. I'm changing rooms with one of my housemates, which I kind of forgot is a long process. I was kind of just like, oh yeah, we're going to change rooms and I'll be done in like one day. And we changed rooms and now I'm staring at a giant mess of stuff in a pile that I have to organize and put away, which I don't want to do.
You never have any idea how much shit you have until
Dude, it's crazy.
You move.
I'm like, why do I own all of these things? I don't even read half these books. I'm just kidding. I do. I'm not that fake. But I
actually do read a little.
Yeah, I read just a little bit, okay? Maybe not all the books I buy. Some of them might be just to show that I'm smart. But I do read at least half of them. It is a long process, so I'm trying to like get that done as fast as possible so I can film my next video. But the whole
I'm sorry, I wasn't gonna say anything, but this isn't like filmed in like a podcast studio. This is like filmed in my bedroom, like right next to like my bed and like the dresser and everything. So I just like I saw my boyfriend like run in here like naked really quick to get underwear and like I just
That's
like
so
saw
funny.
My boyfriend's nuts.
Oh.
And like I could have ignored it, but he made like this face at me. He was like
Oh,
I'm
man.
So sorry. I'm so
no,
sorry
it's okay.
that I got distracted from
it's
what
okay.
you were saying.
It's fine.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
Now picturing what his nuts look like, but that's fine. But
I'm so sorry to do that to you.
it's fine. It's fine, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, I got a real problem with book buying. Like, I love Dude. The atmosphere of Barnes and Nobles, or like, is it Barnes and Noble or Barnes and Nobles? By the way,
I've had this conversation with someone before. I'm pretty sure it's Barnes and Noble, but. Saying it fast, it sounds better saying Barnes and Nobles because the first word ends with S. So I think it rolls off the tongue better. But also when you think about it, about the name, well, I guess it doesn't make sense in the first place. What does that even mean?
Yeah, what is that? Barnes,
yeah,
Barnes and Nobles. There should be multiple nobles. Who are they and where are they now?
But
those are the people I want to know. Those are like
are
the guys, the only business owners that I really want to know, like big business owners, because I fuck with them so hard. Like the atmosphere in there, like it's so ridiculously delightful. It shouldn't be allowed.
It
and also,
really nice.
Literally everybody there is beautiful. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but everybody at Barnes and Noble is always very beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. Every time I walk in there, I think it's to look for books, but it's to look at people. So
I think that atmosphere attracts like interesting people. So
yeah,
maybe
no,
that's
definitely.
Why.
Definitely no, for sure. I would definitely have to agree. I went to a Barnes and Nobles pretty recently, and I bought two books, which I still need to read. I need to stop doing that. I need to actually open the books that I buy and read them. But yeah,
I have a real
feel like,
problem like with getting like super excited about a book I just bought and like zooming through like 40% of it and then never touching it ever again.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does that happen to you?
Like for, yeah, it happens to me. It's definitely just like, it definitely has to do with like my ADHD, but I get so like into a book that I'm reading because it looks cool and I buy it. And then I become uninterested and want to start a different book, which isn't good. I need to like sit down and read the rest of it. I've also been reading a lot of like political theory recently, and that sucks. That's the worst. Because as much as it is like good information to know, the authors are just terrible at their job. They're so bad at writing. It's like the words are so big and hard to understand. And it takes me so long to read a tiny book.
I felt the exact same way when I tried reading some philosophy. Like I tried reading, his name is like Jean-Paul Sartre. Anyways, okay. Not the point. literally, I felt so stupid. Like I read one page and I was like, there was so many like words that I didn't know. Like where it's like, I really don't even know what's going on. Like this isn't even enjoyable. Like you couldn't have written this in a little bit more of an accessible way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I also feel like really smart people want other people to know they're smart. So they write their books in a very smart way that makes it so that they can only understand it. And it feels very pretentious. It comes off as just like, because there are a lot of like political people on like Twitter and shit that'll just like, you know, it's very hard to get into the political atmosphere, especially on like the left, because there are a lot of hard concepts to understand, and there are a lot of leftists on the internet that don't make it any easier. They just kind of like are proud that they understand these hard concepts and they don't explain them in a way that others can understand. And I feel like sometimes authors can do that too.
I feel like it's like a reoccurring cycle. Like somebody is mad that somebody else made it very complicated to understand something. Yeah. Then they go through the effort and they finally understand it, but they're pissed off that they had to do all that. So they're like, I'm not going to make it easier for anyone else. Yeah, like fuck them. No, exactly. They're going to have to do exactly what I just did.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's why I stopped reading political theory and I'm now rereading Percy Jackson, because that's easy to understand.
Hell yeah! Yes! I love Percy Jackson. Oh my god. Honestly, I was too old to be like doing this, but after I read Percy Jackson, all the way up until like probably like freshman year of high school, I used to like always fantasize about like getting my calling to go like be, to go to like Camp Half-Blood.
Oh, don't
like,
even get me started. I thought I was the chosen one, man.
Me too.
Holy shit. I was like, when is this going to happen to me? Where is my, you know, like, where's where are my sign? Powers? Who's my father? Is it Zeus?
Exactly.
Please.
I know it's not this guy.
Yeah. This dude sucks. I want Zeus, man.
Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. That also happened to me with like, have you heard of the show? It was on like, I think it was on Cartoon Network, but it was a Ninjago.
Lego Ninjago.
I still love that show. Apparently, the last season is like airing this year, but it's been airing since.
It's still on?
Yes, it's been airing since I was in third grade, which is insane.
Holy shit.
It's insane. But that show was like, I thought I was like a ninja, dude. It was crazy. I was doing all these insane like tricks in my backyard. There was like one phase where I thought I like found the key to pinjitsu, and that was cool in my head, but I looked really weird doing it. And I shouldn't have done that in public. but like, yeah, I would definitely get way too caught up. Well, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing when you're a kid, but yeah, it was just fun.
That's really wholesome. I fuck with Lego Ninjago. I haven't seen too much of it. Mostly I've seen like memes about it, honestly. Okay, like there's like a resurfacing of like Lego and like Bionicle memes.
Oh, Bionicle. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's awesome.
There's like a surprising amount of lore to Bionicle,
dude,
too.
There's
I was
a
like,
lot
what?
Of lore. Yeah. I watched a lot of it when I was a kid. But because I was a kid, I don't really remember too much. I would watch like bits and pieces that came on TV. It was like one of those shows for me. But But with Ninjago, I stopped watching that show. I started in like third grade and I stopped watching when I was in like seventh or eighth. So I watched that show for a long time. And it's actually a really good show. Like, actually, it's a very good show.
Underrated kid shows. You gotta love it. Well, underrated shows in general. Like, speaking of which, I know you just did a video on Community.
Yeah,
How did that go?
It went very well, I think. I kind of just, like, I have been kind of transitioning my content and have been talking about a lot of social commentary-esque stuff. And I was kind of like, I need a break. So I talked about something that I enjoy, and I love Community with my whole heart. It's a great show, and I feel like I love, like, well thought out and well written humor so much, and that show does a great job with its humor, so it's just up there for me for sure.
You know, I think a good idea for a video would be the politics of Lego Ninjago.
Oh shit, let me write that down. Actually, that's a good idea.
Swear to God, I come up with fire ideas. I don't ever do like half of them because I'm like, I'm not the right person for this. I think Saji's the right person for this.
That would be great. I would have to go and watch the rest of the show that I haven't seen, but
and that's
I
fun.
I would not mind doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at all. You know what? I might do it after this.
Hell yeah, dude. I know we're a little bit off topic from Percy Jackson, but I feel like the reason why that those books like really resonated with me is because quite literally everybody at Camp Half-Blood has like mommy or daddy issues. Just inherently so. So that like really clicked with me. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Dude, they totally get me. This is so me.
No, that's awesome. Did you read I guess it was kind of like a spin-off series. I don't know if it was a spin-off series, but it's the like Heroes of Olympus series that came after the first Percy Jackson series.
Those about?
So the Heroes of Olympus series were just like, it added like new characters. It was basically like a sequel to the Percy Jackson series. And it adds, instead of like Greek gods, it added Roman gods as well. So there were kids that were, you know, the
children. That's cool.
Yeah. And they were able to like, it basically ended up being like an Avengers type thing where they all teamed up. And it was so cool. Those books are like, now I feel like the coolest books that I read as a kid. Because they just expanded so much from the Percy Jackson series. And it did a really good job, for sure. So if you're watching and you haven't read them, they're definitely a great read. They are a tad longer than the Percy Jackson series, but they're really good.
You know, this is exactly why it freaking kills me that the Percy Jackson movie was so fucking bad.
Dude, and they made two of them. They had the audacity to make two. Yeah, it was garbage.
I, like, my brain is still, like, processing the first movie, let alone the fact that there's a second one.
It's really, they, like, I mean, they tried, I guess. But I do know that they're working on a show right now. And I have high hopes for that. I know,
It better not be Netflix.
Rick Riordan is behind all of it, which is great. I think he's direct. If he's not directing, he's producing. Which is good.
Okay,
it's always
nice.
Good to have like the author like having control of their own work. But that's I For feel like that's sure. gonna be I hope it's good. Cause like
I need this.
He's in control. So no, me too. I've been waiting for so long. So long.
Like I feel like I have like total Percy Jackson blue balls because like the first movie sucked and then I was like, okay, maybe the second one will be better.
And it was worse.
Shit just kept getting and like I love Logan Lerman, but like his acting in those movies, I don't know, bro.
I don't know. I feel like I kind of have a soft spot for him in those films because although, you know, those films don't do a great job of portraying the books, I feel like out of everything else that was bad in the films, I think he is the one thing that kind of like I enjoyed as a kid.
He gave it his all.
Yeah, and he also like kind of fits the like the image of Percy Jackson that I had in my head.
Although
he is like older than he's supposed to be mm-hmm. in the books he's like fucking 12. There's a rumor going around that in the new Percy Jackson show, Logan Lerman is supposed to, he might play Poseidon because he's older now.
Let's go. Yeah. Okay, Logan Lerman is an underrated actor because I love Perks of Being the a Wallflower so much. Like yeah. that is such like a quintessential like movie and book in my life for me. Mm-hmm. So I just can't help but love him. Every time I see him, I'm like, I love that guy.
Dude.
Like he's not cool. his character, but like I'm so attached to that movie that like when I see Logan Lerman, I'm like, Charlie.
That's funny. No, he's awesome. He's great.
Yeah, he is pretty great. He hasn't like been in that much though since then, which is like,
yeah,
I what the fuck?
Do feel like, I mean, I also may just be unaware, but I have a feeling that the Percy Jackson sequel kind of may have flushed his career down the toilet just because that film was so bad. But
I think
I
don't so
because I can't think of anything else part of it. I can't think of anything else has been it at all,
literally. Just
but I also just might be completely unaware.
I know, I'm I might be oblivious too.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting because I feel like he should have been one of those people that like was just like a huge actor, but whatever. I was gonna ask you, are you a full-time YouTuber?
Yes. I can say that now. Yes, I am.
That is amazing.
I am a full-time YouTuber. Yeah, it's pretty unreal. There'll be times I'll be like watching Community and I'll be like, wow, this right now for me is work. Like this is my job. It's pretty crazy.
I love that. My favorite part of doing YouTube is like when you're just genuinely like watching something, mm-hmm. even if it's dumb, that you are like enjoying. I don't really like trying to like keep up with trends. Like even last night I was like, should I like do a video about like Cole Sprouse's like cringe interview? Yeah. And then I sat down, I took some notes and I was like, I have zero passion to this project.
Yeah.
I am not going to be able to finish this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that shit is just like, I don't know. I definitely, and I do kind of talk about this in my new video. I don't mean to plug my own work, but if you haven't seen it, go watch
it.
Go
ahead.
Plug it. But I do talk a lot about like trying to follow, you know, what it is that you want to create or what you desire to create instead of like chasing an algorithm or like a trend. And it is a very easy thing to say because there's a lot of people that are in positions where they have to financially support themselves, so they don't really have a choice. You know, that I completely understand. But I like when I first started out with my channel, I was like creating content that I wanted to make because I didn't understand the algorithm. I didn't know what the algorithm was. I didn't know that I had to follow trends to get views or like, you know, that's what everyone says. And so I would make whatever I wanted to, and then it wasn't doing well. So I was like, fuck, what do? And I would look at other people and other advice and be like, okay, you got to like, you know, do trends and like use trendy hashtags and tags and shit. And then I fell into like a cycle of just doing trends and things that were trendy and like, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It just took me out of.
Oh yeah, definitely not. I get it.
Yeah, it just took me out of like my creative mindset, I guess. And I kind of like forgot the reason I started making content in the first place, which was like that I had these cool creative ideas and I wanted to express them in my own way. So that's like the change that I've been trying to make recently with my content. And I kind of go more into it with this most recent video. So yeah.
By the way, I did watch it. It was really good. I do recommend everybody who's seeing this, watch that right after this. Not right now. Don't hurt the watch time.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Please, wait a minute. I find that I want to talk about like kind of trendy topics sometimes, but I don't want to like format it into a video because when I think about like making a video, like I want to like think about like jokes I'm going to put in it. I want to think about like things I'm going to do creatively in it. And I also want it to be timeless. Like I really have like a goal that like you can watch one of my YouTube videos at any point and it's not going to be like, wow, this is super outdated.
Hell yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I have a hard time trying to do trendy stuff, but I'm kind of using this podcast as like a platform to do that since I do have thoughts. I do have a lot of thoughts on like everything, but I just don't want to like format it. You know what I mean?
No, of course. Yeah, that's no, for sure. I feel like this could be a really good like outlet to talk about those things in a way that doesn't put a strain on like your creative capacity. You can just kind of like talk about certain things and like what you think about them. So that's cool.
Exactly. Sure. It's nice. It's like doing this podcast, I feel, is kind of like a verbal like diary. It's just like a flow of just like consciousness. So.
Oh, that's dope. I was going to ask you because you asked me how my week was. So I was going to ask you how yours has been.
Did anything interesting happen to me this week? I feel like something usually does. Something weird always like happens.
Yeah.
Something that I'm trying to do more, which is funny that we ended up talking about this, is read. And like 2 years ago, I started reading my year of rest and relaxation. And and now I'm trying to finish it. So that's it's kind of sad. It took me 2 years to finish my year of rest and relaxation. Like, come on. But who knows? I feel like there's always like a halfway point through the year where I'll always get like discouraged and I'm like, well, 2024 will be my year for sure.
Yep, the same shit over for me. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's way too easy to like procrastinate big, not like I guess you could call them like big goals that you have or just things that you want to strive for and things that you want to do. Definitely way too easy to like push that to the side.
For sure. Like I saw a meme the other day that was like me after accidentally clicking on an Instagram reel and then like resurfacing to reality 1 hour later. So even something like that, like you don't even know what's happening and like it's been an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I've been really trying to like stay off of social media recently. I've just been realizing that it's just been like not good for me at all.
Yeah, it's really stressful. I feel like I'm kind of like failing at something if I don't like meet like the quota or standard that I have for myself like in my brain. So it's just like I rather like just post like once a month. Like that's what I do. Like I'll just post like once a month and try to make that one post like a good post.
I've been
trying to just be like whatever. Like I don't care.
No, yeah. It just, it's crazy how much like we're affected by numbers sometimes. I've been trying to do better at just like, because if I like upload a video and it, you know, doesn't do well, it'll like, I'll be upset for the whole day. And I just like realize I'll just be like, damn, like I shouldn't really be upset. Like this isn't really anything I can control. So for that reason, like, I don't know. So I've just been trying to stay away from my statistics just because it's not easy sometimes.
Whenever I post a video, like the whole first day I'm like compulsively like checking YouTube Studio, so I get it. And what you just said, actually I'm gonna remember that. I think it's gonna help me a lot, like because there's only so much you can control. A lot of it is just out of your control. So
exactly. And it sucks when you get upset at yourself for shit that you can't control. Like it's just the algorithm, like, you know, and like you can't really ever understand the algorithm because it always changes. But it's also just like I don't know, it shouldn't like what content you make shouldn't depend on how well your past video does. You know, I feel like that yeah. shouldn't determine what it is you create. It should be like, what do you want to make?
Exactly. Like, I felt very proud of the last video that I posted. Like, I thought it came out really good and I thought it was funny, and it straight up died. Let me see. Wait, it died at 15,000 views because, like, originally my the channel that I post commentary on, originally that was for true crime, but I like phased out of that and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so this, I'm just gonna post commentary on here from now mm-hmm. on because I don't want to do this anymore, because there's a number of reasons why I quit true crime, but like just like two, for example, is like, firstly, you have to put in like so many hours of research, and if you don't, you're literally a piece of shit. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's people's lives. It's life or death. Yeah. So you can't screw around with that. Yeah. So the stress of that
yeah.
was like, I can't do that. And then yeah. there was, you know, that big conversation about, you know, like, is true crime exploitative? And like, I think it is in like a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think there's people that like do it like respectfully, but like, I wasn't ready to take on the responsibility of being like basically a detective. I'm a YouTube detective. Yeah, I did like 48 hours fair. Of research on this.
Yeah, you know? That's fair. I'm sure you have to do it in a very like particular way that not only is respectful to whoever you're talking about, but is also like, I also feel like there. I'm sure I haven't seen too many like true crime channels or anything, but I'm sure there are channels where there are people that are like qualified to do what it is they're mm-hmm. doing, so I'm sure that like eases the audience in a sense.
Oh yeah, there's people that are great, but then there's people that do like true crime mukbangs, so
what the fuck, that's such an insane concept.
Okay. It's such a crazy dystopian thing.
You live it in like, a fucking society, dude.
We do be living in a society. In case the viewers forgot that, like, that's just a quick reminder. We do live in a society.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do.
So, yeah, it's been, like, an interesting journey to, like, start posting commentary videos on there and, like, try to grow with that, like, type of content and that platform. So I feel like it's still having its, like, journey of, like, reaching the people it needs to reach.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. I feel like whenever you transition your content, that's going to take time because your audience has to like filter out. So that definitely is never easy. So it's definitely very like, I don't want to say courageous of you because I don't want to like put you down anyway, but it is really cool for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, also, yeah. I wouldn't take to offense if you said it was courageous, because feel like, I mean, it's definitely interesting endeavor. It's hard to
do, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And like, part of me wonders if I should have just like kept going with like a completely like blank channel and like seen where, like how that could have worked out. But like at this point, you know, I've been doing it for like, I think I've been posting commentary for like on and off for like 8 months.
Oh wow.
It's been kind of like tough because I'll put out like one video a month and that's like not really enough for the algorithm.
Yeah. When you first it's either when you first start out or when you're like transitioning, the algorithm won't really pick up your stuff unless you are consistent. And
exactly.
That sucks because you kind of have to like make yourself be creative when you don't want to be, or when you're like burnt out or whatever. So that definitely isn't easy.
Exactly. Like, I want to take a long time to think about all this. I don't know. I wish I just had more like time. I don't like the rush of it all.
Yeah. But
literally last night, I'm very proud of myself because I wasn't going to do this type of stuff like in between like bigger projects. Like I know now that like if I want to take a long time on one video, I have to like post stuff in between. So last night I recorded myself doing like a Jubilee video and I was like, I never saw myself like doing that, but like obviously that's like, dude, I can't resist a good Jubilee video. No, like they I always good. Watch people watch them.
Yeah, no, they are good. And it's like, I don't know, it is nice to have the option to like make easy content that is also entertaining. So
exactly. So I don't know, I guess part of me was like afraid of doing something like that because like I like having like creative control over mm-hmm. like everything that's gonna happen. So it's hard for me to just like let go and just like watch something yeah, and just react to it.
No, that's
with like no calculation. So
yeah, that's like the exact opposite of what I'm doing now. I just switch over from like making more reactionary content and just coming up with stuff on the spot, which I did get like pretty good at, to now having to like write everything out. And like that process for me is really hard right now, having to like do research beforehand and like script out my videos. Like it's fun and I love it, but the transition is so hard because they're polar opposites.
It's so hard. And I think something that's kind of like helped me like let go of like my control issues with like all of this is like live streaming. Like I've been streaming on Twitch like almost every night, not to plug myself really quick, but I feel like that has helped me just like just be there, just like be present.
Yeah.
And just enjoy something, you know?
Oh yeah. That's awesome. That is awesome. And that also like, I don't know, when you, it's really important to like become close with the part of your audience that sticks around for like everything that you do, like whether you like stream or make reactionary videos or like post on Instagram, like the part of your audience or the part of like the your viewers that like care so much to watch everything that you do, to like build that bond to become tighter, I've realized is like super important because they care so much about you. And that to me is like, is crazy to think about. But it's just so cool. It's so fucking cool.
That's the beautiful part about it. And those are the people that I appreciate the most, is just like people that have like stood by me and are just like, yeah, I'm going to support whatever you do. Like, dude, you guys are, words can't express it.
For real.
It's
for real.
Amazing. Okay, so my last question for you before we get into like our songs and movies of the week is, did you grow up wanting to be a YouTuber, or like who were like the people who inspired you to like make your channel?
That's a really good question. I did grow up wanting to be a YouTuber, actually, which is crazy. Every time I think about that, it blows my mind because now I'm doing it. But I started watching YouTube at a super young age, but also the content that came out when I was a kid isn't as, or it wasn't as like explicit as it is now in terms of like the things that you can find online or just like the things that like everyone can watch. But I grew up watching YouTubers like Ryan Higa. He was like my big inspiration to kind of like start my own channel, and he inspired me to like make videos when I was 12 with one of my best friends. That those videos are still online. If you can find them, congratulations, but I'm not going to tell you the name of the channel.
If you find them, put them in the comments down below. Yeah.
That's cheating. You can't do that. No. No, but that, and I would basically just make skits with my friend, and My friend wasn't as big onto Ryan Higa as I was, so I knew like all of his like skits and stuff that he did. So I would kind of, mm-hmm. so when we would like make videos, I would kind of like copy his concepts without telling anyone, and like I would be like, okay, I have this cool idea where, you know, like we do this, and he would be like, oh yeah, that's an awesome idea. I'd be like, yeah, that was my idea, and. And then we would film it and edit it on our iPad. My dad had it was the iPad Air, like the first one that ever came out. And I would edit on the iPad Air and then export it. And then I think one of our videos got like 72 views, and we were over the moon. We were like, dude, we're going to be famous. We will be the next Smosh.
Well, that's pretty amazing considering like what it was. Like that, like 72 other people like found it and were like, whoa, look at this. Yeah.
But then we found out that our parents had been spreading our videos to our family.
Oh. So,
and I'll be honest with you. I think they were probably laughing at us, not with us.
Oh my God.
So
that's like finding out Santa's not real. Like, yeah, that's so sad. Right?
yeah, it was pretty sad actually. But that was kind of just like my start with like creating videos. And I definitely don't steal any ideas when I make videos now. That would be insane. I don't know why you would assume that. That was just very like, I don't know. It was definitely like, I do remember thinking like when I was 12 and I would make those videos and I would tell my friend, I would be like, this is something that I could see myself doing like as a job. And he would be like, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Totally. We were like 12. And yeah, and I was like, and I don't
like,
know.
Like, fuck my 12-year-old friend for not believing in me when I was 12 years old.
Fuck Rohan. God. It's just, and then that was just kind of like where my drive started. And it's really cool to find something that you enjoy when you're super young, because then you realize you have all this time to work on that passion and get better at it. And that's what I ended up doing. And I like made like Minecraft videos when I was in eighth grade. Those aren't online.
Classic.
And that was a blast. I low-key want to make more. They were so much fun to make.
You should.
maybe.
I love Minecraft.
And then I did like, I don't know. In high school, I did like vlogs and stuff. And that was cool. And then over quarantine, that's when I finally like started doing commentary consistently. And then now I'm here. So yeah.
Dude, you were like the original version of those channels that like copy everything Mr. Beast does, like down to the thumbnail. That was you with Ryan Higa.
It really was. Yeah. I ended up like, he had a skit that was like how to be ninja, and he did do that skit, but there was another one where he talked about like how to be popular, I think. And then one of the videos we created was 7 steps on how to be popular. Classic Saji, stealing other people's content. Please don't expose me in a video, Nikki. Don't expose me in a video, please.
Oh, you're giving me all the content.
No, no. I thought you were my friend. That's crazy.
I don't even have to do it. You just did it to yourself.
I really just told you everything. Yeah, you didn't even have to ask.
Do you have any song recommendations this week, or movie, or both?
So I haven't been watching a lot of movies recently. I guess I haven't had the time. But I will say a movie that I've been meaning to see. I really wanted to see Puss in Boots 2. That movie was supposed to be incredible, and I need
yes!
to see it.
Yes! That's a really good one.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely need to watch it. I love animation, especially when they make them really good.
Have you seen Attack on Titan?
I've only seen the first season. I have not seen the whole show.
That's all you needed to know. Okay, so in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, there's like this amazing, like stylized, like, fight sequence with like Puss in Boots and this like rock monster, and they took inspiration from one of like the famous like fight scenes in Attack on Titan, and it quite literally it's epic like that. Like,
no,
he's like
way. That's so
yeah
exciting.
It's almost like an anime.
That's so
it's really
cool.
Good.
That's very cool. Yeah, I love when films take inspiration from anime. It's so cool, because I feel like there are still a lot of people, especially on the Western side of the globe, that look down on anime, because it's like, you know, like it isn't, I don't know, they just have their explanations. But when, because like there was also, I think Michael B. Jordan took inspiration in his new film Creed 3 with some of the fight scenes. He took inspiration from, I forget the name of the anime, but he was talking about.
Oh, I heard that movie was good.
I heard so too. It's another one that I need to watch.
Me too.
Yeah. But it's just dope. It's very cool.
Super sick. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with like a lot of like Western animation studios, like not recently, because I feel like recently it's like kind of starting to change, especially mm-hmm. with like the popularity of Puss in Boots. Mm-hmm. But we have been glued to some boring ass shit for a while. And I'm looking at you, Illumination, bitch.
Fuck Illumination, man.
Fuck Illumination. That's so funny. Most fucking easy, like, oh, let's just play it safe movies I've ever seen. There's nothing I hate more than that, than the let's just play it safe movie. Like, I know. Shut the fuck up.
They just make shit because they know it'll make a profit, and it's really sad, honestly.
It's sad. It's so creatively devoid. Like, it's, the children don't deserve this.
I know. It's not good. I don't know if you saw the new or the most recent Minions movie, but it was so bad. It sucks because it got so much hype because of the whole
from
like
the memes.
From the memes. I was like, that film does not deserve the hype. It really doesn't. It was not good at all.
I hate that. You know, I think that the first Despicable Me was like okay. It was mm-hmm. pretty good.
Yeah.
But after that, no. No.
Yeah. Once they found out they can make money off of, you know, the Minions, they just ran with it. And now I hate the Minions. They're so annoying. They don't.
Okay, I'm gonna be a contrarian for a second
Don't say it. Don't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
I'm gonna defend the Minions, okay?
You just said you didn't like Illumination. You can't say both of those things. They can't be true at the same time.
That's the duality of man. So it's not the Minions' fault. Like,
they're not real, Nikki. I know it's not the Minions' fault because they don't exist. Snap back into reality.
Well, they're real to me. So they're cute. They are.
I mean, true. I guess they also speak. They also speak Spanish, Italian, and Portuguese at the same time. That's pretty cool.
And that's why I love them. They're also like bilingual.
Yeah, or something like that.
And like, I don't know. I just think they're pretty cute. And I think like the Facebook like grandma/mom memification of like the Minions has kind of made me like them more because now they're kind of like in a post-ironic.
Okay, light. Fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I guess my comment was more so not like I don't dislike the Minions. I hate that the studio itself wanted to like use them more so to make money and kind of put them at the front of their films rather than like the story and the actual characters. But I don't
know. Oh, so now you're changing your tune.
No, I'm just clarifying what I was saying. Okay. I don't think it's not that I think the Minions aren't cute and adorable. It's just that, you know, they were being played with and I didn't like it. Okay. I can't stand for it. I have to sit actually. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm sitting.
The Minions were completely violated by Illumination.
Yes,
so.
And it's not cool. Fuck you, Illumination.
That's like my main ops for sure, is Illumination.
For real, yeah. That's so funny.
Do I have a movie recommendation for the week? That's a little hard because I recommended my most recent movie watch.
Okay.
Literally like a few days ago when I recorded a different podcast. Podcast episode, so it's kind of hard. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and recommend a movie that I watched and I wrote part of a script for.
Okay.
And I couldn't really figure out how to make it a good video because I just thought the movie was good and then it turned into like, oh, this movie's just good, which is kind of hard for me to do for some reason.
Yeah.
So Barbie and the Diamond Castle. I know it sounds crazy, but no, it's a good movie.
Okay. I'll definitely have to check it out. I didn't watch any of the Barbie films when I was a kid.
Like this is a movie that you could definitely overanalyze, and I think I'm kind of failing at that. I might have to like take another look at it
from a
different perspective. It's like about these two girls who live in the woods together in like a cottagecore style, like cute little like prairie looking like house.
Yeah.
And they sing to each other all day about how much they love each other. They give each other like heart lockets.
That's cute.
They chase each other around with like a dish rag. It's like very romantic. Like,
yeah.
People will deny that it is, but it's very gay. They're also like starving. They're like super poor and like starving, and they sell like flowers. And then they like go on this like journey to like try to save like the art of music.
Oh shit. That sounds so lit. I feel like everything you said after one thing, I was even more confused, but then at the end it all made sense.
Exactly. So I feel like, I don't know, I'll try to figure it out. It's a good movie though, so I recommend that this week. And then I will also recommend what's been my jam this week. It's Wildflower by Beach House, which is like a song that you can simultaneously like shake your ass to, but also cry to. Do you have a song, Rick?
Yes. One of my favorite artists, Eve's Tumor, released an album recently. And they're so good. They make like, you haven't heard of them. They make like, how do you even describe? It's like psychedelic, like alt rock. I don't know. It's really cool. I don't think you could put it in a genre.
It's very interesting. So I discovered them like a few months ago. I try to like go out on a walk every month, like a long one, and just like find some new artist that I like. And so that was who I found on that walk. And it's very interesting because some of their music is like, it's kind of like ambient and like tranquil.
Yes,
and then
it gets
very like groovy. And it also like has like this, like it reminds me of like Tame Impala.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So it's very cool.
I can see that. Yeah. Well, their new album is really, really good. If I had to pick a song to recommend, I guess it would be the song Fear Evil, Like Fire, is really, really good. The whole album is great if you get a chance to listen to it, but that song is pretty good. I think this is an artist that I definitely would love to see like on tour, just because their music would just be so good live, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, they have like a very cool, like, interesting like style and like vibe to them.
Yeah, no, for sure, definitely. There was like reading their Spotify description, and there was an article that described their kind of like, not their style, because they have their own style, but in the sense that like their style is so unique. They were kind of comparing them to Prince in the way that like he was very all out there and like, you know, had his own thing going on. Was just like, it was very
that
cool.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like he's very, like, non-gender conforming, like, extra, like, in a word, very, like, yes. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. No, exactly, yeah.
Very cool. It's nice to see, I mean, I'm sure they're not new, but they're new to me, okay? So it's nice to see someone new to me that's doing that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, Saji, is there anything else that you would like to plug before the episode ends?
No, I'm a very humble person, you know, so I wouldn't necessarily. You should go watch my last video if you haven't seen it yet. It's a really good video. I put a lot of effort into it. So if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. But other than that, I'm a really humble person, so I don't like to plug any of my stuff. But yeah, that's about it.
I'm just like so humble. I'm like so much more humble than most people.
Yeah, exactly. I am probably the humblest person you'll ever meet, actually.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of actually annoying that they don't give awards out for being humble.
No,
because
exactly.
I think I would get one.
Exactly.
But even if they did give out awards, I probably wouldn't accept it
because I'm so humble. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't let that happen, because that in itself is just like incorrect, you know?
Yeah. Just so not humble.
Yeah.
Which is not me.
Exactly.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for watching. I hope to see you next week on Junk Drawer. And thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me, Saji.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
And they're totally not lying either. It definitely is fun.
He's definitely not holding a gun to my head right now as we speak. I'm really humble, so that's what I would say, you know?
Anyways, see you guys next week. Love you so much. Bye.
Bye.